Okay, we're going to get started here. I want to welcome everybody to the Success Circle call. This is Lisa Minini. Thank you so much for being here, and I want to welcome all new members. Excited to have you here, and also the existing Success Circle members, welcome. And just to briefly, if this is your first Q&A call, I want to just give you an update about what the Q&A is all about, tell you a little bit about some upcoming events that are coming to make sure you have them on your calendar, and then we'll get started with the questions that people have submitted. And there's quite a few questions today. It just seems like sales and marketing seems to be a really hot topic right now. So similar questions were submitted. In the Q&A call, which is always the fourth Tuesday of the month, the purpose of the Q&A is to get any questions that you may have about your business, or perhaps if you're working through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, any questions about that. It could also include questions that we've had on our high content calls. Now, the high content calls occur every second Tuesday of the month, and again, you can submit any questions that you have, maybe even around those high content calls. Now, remember, you can always, if you do happen to miss the Q&A calls or even the high content calls, you can go into the Success Circle membership site and you can listen to those and download those. And some people I know just download them to a CD and listen to them at their leisure. They even have like volumes of them in their cars so they can listen to them over and over. And sometimes that's just helpful to have repetition in some of the key Q&A calls, even the high content calls. Sometimes the Q&A calls almost seem like high content calls because I do tend to give a lot of information when somebody asks a question. Now, I do prefer that you come on to the call, the Q&A call live, because if it's something that I can coach you through and we can have a conversation about it, it's sometimes much more effective because I can ask you questions about what's going on, and it's helpful to the people that are listening on the call as well. But I understand that you have a business to run and it's not always possible to be here on the Q&A calls. So feel free to submit them, your questions to info@accelerateassociates.com. And when you do, let me know if I can use usually what I like to do is use your first name and especially which occupation you're in, so that gives people a context for the question, especially if you're not able to be here live. And so that's really helpful to be able to do. If you do want to be anonymous when you submit your question, that's fine too. I respect that, and you can feel free to let me know that. But again, submit them to info@accelerateassociates.com. And just to give you some ideas of some upcoming events, so I hope you have your calendar or at least a pen and paper in front of you. We have March 31st, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to have a webinar called Seal the Deal 98% of the Time, where I'm going to reveal all the systems and the way that the things that you need in your business to be able to seal the deal 98% of the time. It is possible, and I'm going to talk about those during the webinar. So if you have somebody you know too that could use this information, feel free to also refer them to it. The link is available on your Success Circle site, and so you can go there to just link on it, and then you can register for the event. Now, for some of you who are my affiliates, certainly if you refer somebody to that webinar, which is free, but if you refer to somebody, it's automatically logged through your affiliate code, and so if they sign up for anything in the future and for the lifetime of that customer, you get 20% commissions on any commissionable products or services, which are almost all of our products and services. So it's a nice way of making passive income, and if you're not yet an affiliate, you can sign up through the AccelerateAssociates.com website, and And so that's just an option for you if you're interested. Also, okay, and that was March 31st at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The next laser coaching call is April 12th, which is a Tuesday. And then just in email info at accelerateassociates.com if you have not yet scheduled your laser coaching call and you want to take advantage of that. Your high content call for April is also on April 12th at 4:30. And what I'm going to talk about is sponsorships. A lot of people have asked me, you know, Lisa, how do you get these sponsorships for your events? And there's a lot of advantages to having sponsors to your events, but, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of do's and don'ts in getting sponsors. And I've had experiences that I can relay to you so you don't make the same mistakes I've made. And also some of the things that you'll want to know ahead of time before you get sponsors. Again, the pros, there's pros and there's cons to getting sponsors. So I'm going to pull back the curtain and share with you all of the nuts and bolts of how to, as well as some of the pros, the cons, and things to look out for, how to structure sponsorships, what they're all about, the types of sponsorships, and even putting meeting places that you might not even ever think of to have events. But in having events, you can bring a lot more people to your business as well as really get the word out there about your programs and services. So it can be a collaborative event. We're going to talk about different types of events, too, for you to think about for perhaps your future, perhaps some to include as part of your marketing mix. So, again, that high content call was April 12th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, on May 12th to the 14th, we have the Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive, which I'm really psyched about. And I know that we have a lot of people that attended last time that are coming back the second year, and we have a lot of first-timers as well. So it's going to be a great mix, and I guarantee, you know, the people that attended last year are there's just an incredible transformations that keep happening. We have people hiring, you know, people from last year hiring staff because they can't keep up with the workload. Good problem to have. So it'll be really exciting, and I'm just thrilled that that's going to be happening pretty soon. So, Matt's, again, May 12th through the 14th. And and if you're not registered yet for that, you'll want to be on the March 31st webinar, where I'll talk about that, but at the very end. So if you know somebody who is interested in the 3-day intensive, then have them come on the webinar on the 31st, and at the very end, I'll tell them all about the 3-day intensive. Okay, let's get to some of the questions for today. All right, we've got about 7 questions in all, and as I said before, I may be able to get through some of these early, and you can ask any questions that you might have. But a lot of them were very similar. I would say about, you know, 5 of the 7 questions that we had surrounded sales. Around sales and marketing, my biggest frustration is increasing sales. Can you give me some ideas? Selling, my biggest frustration is selling a product or service without feeling pushy. Some of you may be feeling pushy when you're in sales, so I'm going to share with you today how to actually reverse the sales process so you're not feeling pushy. What are some effective focused marketing ideas without paying an arm and a leg? How do I find new people to talk to? How do I find out what my potential clients' biggest frustrations are, the things that make them feel uneasy about their business? And these are all really great questions. And the interesting thing is they all have a similar solution that I'm going to share with you on today's Q&A call. But the first one I want to get to is about increasing sales and selling a product or services without feeling pushy. First of all, the first one I want to tackle is increasing sales. And I also want to distinguish, too, that, you know, sales and marketing go hand in hand. So if you don't have enough sales, okay, it may be because you're not doing enough marketing or not doing enough consistent marketing or marketing in the right places that actually reach your ideal client. And we do have a question, by the way, about a target market and distractions. So I'm going to cover those two questions at the very end. But first, about increasing sales. So remember that there's a difference between sales and marketing. When you look at marketing, it's really what you're doing to attract qualified prospects. Okay? The sales process is about the relationship and the trust that you're building with your ideal client, all the entire way until you convert that prospect to a client or a customer. Now, so marketing is getting the word out there about your business, helping people to find you. And, you know, you want to drive people to what's called a sales funnel. So each business should actually have a sales funnel that people can go through. Now, a sales funnel is a step-by-step, and for those of you who haven't been through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, we're going to go through this in detail. But a sales funnel is kind of the step-by-step that you put your prospect through, and each step of the way, it helps build that relationship and helps to do two things. Helps to pre-qualify that prospect, and also helps them self-select into your programs and services. Okay? The reason a lot of people feel, you know, in the sales process, oftentimes people feel pushy is because they haven't done enough through putting people through a sales funnel in order for that person to get pre-qualified before they even talk to you. And so when you have people talking to you that haven't been through a sales funnel that pre-qualifies them first, then it's going to feel pushy because you feel like you're selling your services. Now, and this is true too with, you know, effective focused marketing, finding new people to talk to. One of the key things that I talk about is to make sure that you do have the sales funnel. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you an example. When people are often referring people to me, I often would ask them, you know, have them go to freebusinessplanformat.com. Why do you want to go to freebusinessplanformat.com? Well, because that is the very beginning of me almost like shaking hands with my ideal prospect. And oftentimes people just find Free Business Plan Format because it's based on some keywords. And so they put those keywords in a search engine and they land on that page. So it's kind of like me introducing myself to them and also developing that trust as the first step in the building the trust. Remember, the sales process, this is a sales funnel, so it's building that trust. And so it's like you're shaking hands with them. And then when you shake hands with them, you want your messages to be so compelling that they identify themselves in that message. So on that particular page, it identifies who my ideal client is, and if they are interested in more information, they can put their name and email address in, and they will get access to a free downloadable book. Now, I'm giving them content at this point, high-value content, to help them through. Now, oftentimes when they're doing a search and they find this particular page, it's because they're starting a business. So it's my way of saying, hey, you know, let's shake hands. Let me give you content. Let me start building that trust by giving you something first. Now, most business owners don't have anything like this. And it's what's called a lead generation page that helps pre-qualify your ideal prospects and helps them self-select. Now, there's a variety of other pages that go along with it. In the process, they're also filling out what their biggest frustration is. So one of the questions that came in was, how do I find out what my potential client's biggest frustrations are, the things that make them feel uneasier about their business? Now, the second step of that whole process is to ask that question. So when a prospect, before they download their information, they're asked the question, they put in their answer, and I get market data. Now, what that does is it allows me to find out what those people that are landing on the page, what their biggest frustration is. Now, over time, you collect a lot of great data that tells you what types of programs and services they're looking for. So when you start developing those programs and services, you're not developing it in a vacuum. You're developing it based on data that you're getting from your ideal clients who are starting to be pre-qualified during this whole process. And so what happens is when they're pre-qualified, by the time they go through the sales funnel, they download your book, and maybe in your ebook or audio, there is something that tells them how else they can get in touch with you. Maybe it's, you know, you lead them through to a free teleseminar or a webinar or a free workshop that you're doing. Now they're going to take another step if they're interested. Now, if they're not interested, right, they're going to go away. Because and this is the importance of selecting a really clear target market, right? Because if you want to be able to create those marketing messages that are so compelling that people say, yeah, that's me, that's who I am, and I want to work with you, right? So they feel so compelled, they put their name and email address in, and along the way you ask them a question, and still further, you invite them to something else that's for free. Now, again, this is a potential sales funnel. Now, not everybody's sales funnel looks like this, but this is just one of the ways that you really have to know what your sales funnel is. Now, they go to your workshop or they go to your teleseminar and they get more content. Now, you're creating a couple things. Now, you're visible. You're visible in front of them. They're getting to know you. You're creating that relationship. Again, this is all part of the, you know, sales and marketing is kind of all in this together. And you're listening to your information. They're getting valuable content. You're helping them along the way. And then maybe they, you know, at some point might purchase a product or a service or come see you. Maybe it's for an introductory meeting or get acquainted meeting. And they come in, and again, before they come in, you want to pre-qualify them further. Maybe it's a process. You have them fill something out before they come in. Now, along the way, you're still pre-qualifying them. So by the time that they get to you, they are already pre-qualified, and they have an idea and are kind of self-selecting into your programs and services, because some of you might be asking, well, where's my website come into this? Well, your website plays a much less central role than it has in the past. What happens is your website you can send them to before they even meet you for the Get Acquainted. Again, that can help pre-qualify further. And for those of you who haven't attended the Entrepreneurial Edge System, we go through that whole process, the five types of websites and exactly what you should have on those websites to help pre-qualify people. And this is all important. Why? Because you know, when you finally meet with somebody, they want to choose you. They're choosing you because you've already given them a lot of content, a lot of, they're visible, you're visible to them. You've given a lot of credibility because you've helped them maybe even through the first step, right? So you're upping your credibility. So by the time they meet you, they're more ready to enroll in your products or services because you've already created that relationship. Now, a lot of this can be created automatically through autoresponders and through different ways. You know, through the webinar or teleseminars or, you know, through perhaps just the pre-qualification process where you give them information to fill out and they come in prepared to see you. And so these are some of the sales funnel is an important part of not feeling then the pressure to sell. Because when you meet with somebody, you want to have a really enriching conversation from their standpoint, right? And you don't want to have this conversation where you feel like you have to go into sales mode. I never liked that. I never liked being on the receiving end of that. And so what I learned over the years, and for some of you, you might have heard my story, when I first got started, I had no sales background. I mean, I worked in corporate a good portion of my career, but sales wasn't it. And so what I did, even though I was at the time sealing the deal 80% of the time, I was educating people. I wasn't selling to them. And every time I tried to go into sales mode, it never worked. So it's really the systems and the pre-qualification that is the most important part of that sales process. If you don't have the systems and you don't have this pre-qualification, then you are going to feel really pushy and salesy. And that, to a lot of people, doesn't feel good anyway, from either side. There's other things, too, in this whole process, even when you meet with people. It's important that you understand why people buy. And there's seven, you know, really about seven reasons, probably more, but people like, number one, they like to make money, right? So can you help them make money? Number two, can you save them money? Okay, can you save them money? Number three, can you save them time? So make money, save time. Number four, save effort. Can you save them some effort? Number five, can you improve their health? Number six, can you increase pleasure? And number seven, can you eliminate pain? And so people, so let me make money, number one, two, save money, three, save time, four, save effort, five, improve health, six, increase pleasure, seven, eliminate pain. There's probably more that I'm not thinking of, but those are some of the reasons that people buy. Now, what happens is, during the sales process, is a lot of people say, oh, you know, you can get six DVDs in this wonderful book, and we can, and they're telling them all about their features. Well, people buy with their emotions, and they justify it with logic, but they rarely buy because of the features, you know. You know, this is a great DVD, you know. This they're going to actually look at something, and they're going to buy because of the benefits, you know. Seal the deal 98% of the time. Put your marketing on autopilot. You know, all of those are the benefits that people will gain as a result, for example, of going through, you know, the Seal the Deal 98% of the Time webinar that I'm having that's coming up. So it's a benefit to them. They're going to be able to seal the deal 98% of the time. So as you look at your own business, what is the benefit that people will gain as a result of buying your products or services? Okay, what are the benefits, not the features? And the features are sometimes nice because the feature could be a benefit, you know. If something is automated. You know, that's a nice feature. But what is the result of the automation? Does it make it easier? Does it save something? Time, effort, money? Does it increase pleasure? Does it eliminate pain? You know, think about who your target audience is too. You know, if you're working with the older adult population, oh, maybe something is easier for them. You know, can openers, for example, you know, of course, the what's the benefit? Able to open up cans with ease, you know. Now, for somebody who's has a lot of arthritis, they're going to appreciate that, right? So again, think of your products and services and what is the benefit? What is the sort of the emotional benefit? Is it, so think about that when you're looking at your programs and services. As you're presenting those programs and services to people, it's important for you to identify what those are. So as you're, okay, so I want to look at some of the questions here. We're increasing sales. So one of the things too that I want to mention is the lead generation system. I mentioned it earlier. It's really the first step of your sales funnel, usually, not always, but usually. And so as you look at the sales, the first step in your sales process, you want to have a lead generation system. Why? Because it automatically brings in prospects and it pre-qualifies them. So it's a critical part of increasing sales. Well, some of the other questions are finding people to talk to. Well, when you have a lead generation system, it reverses that process. They find you. So isn't it a lot easier when they find you rather than you having to hunt and and gather people? It changes the sales process. It reverses that sales process. One of the questions were finding out what are my potential clients' biggest frustrations. Again, in the lead generation system, that second step is asking the people, what are your biggest struggles? What are your biggest frustrations? And you can get market data over time from them. And effective focused marketing without paying an arm and a leg. You have a lead generation system. It's like having a salesperson 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never stops. You know, I look down at my BlackBerry and I'm seeing a consistent flow of new prospects that come in. Now there's autoresponders attached to that, and so it's always responding to them. But, and you're always putting them through, you know, also having some stay in touch vehicles. How do you stay in touch with them? So once they come into your funnel, how do you get them to the next step? How do you get into the next, process or, you know, you're able to speak to them or touch them in some way, whether that's a teleseminar, a webinar, or an email or something. So, again, how are you staying in touch with them? So, those are some, if you're looking to increase sales, if you're selling a product or service and you don't want to feel pushy, if you want to find new people to talk to, if you want to have focused marketing without paying an arm and a leg, and you want to find out what your potential, your client's biggest frustrations are, then the lead generation system is something that you will need in your business. Now, we go through that extensively. You'll get a template. If you haven't attended the Entrepreneurial Edge system yet and you are registered, we're going to go through this in detail, and you get all this scripts that you can just, tailor for your own messages, and we go through that. So stay tuned for that if you are going to the 3-day. One of the other questions that I want to get to is this question that came in. I'm involved in a MLM, a multi-level marketing business, and I'm working from home. And my biggest frustration is that the business is easy enough that distractions of life can interfere with working the business with a purpose. I get this a lot from my solopreneur clients who have home-based businesses, whether they're MLMs or they're solo practices or consultants, even coaches, have that tug and pull of, you know, life's distractions. Plus, you know, you also have, a lot of times when you're working from home, you have the distractions of, you know, I could really put in a load of laundry right now. Or there's a little too much dust on that sofa table. And if you have a home-based business, you're probably laughing right now that that's probably happened to you. And there's a couple of reasons why this happens, and I'm going to give you also some tips with how to stay very focused even though you have a home-based business. Number one, by far, is your natural hardwiring can absolutely be impacting your ability to stay focused. People who have a high sense of urgency do not have this sit-ability factor, I call it. And the sit-ability factor is, if you have a high sense of urgency, meaning if you're impatient and you know who you are, then it's really hard for you to focus and stay focused for a long period of time. You have to get up. You have to, you know, do other things. And so what I often also find is that individuals who are wired that way and who do not have a very clear blueprint of their business will tend to procrastinate. And it's because they don't have enough to do that they're finding themselves doing some of these things that distract them. And so that's one thing. You also do have, you know, things that, I mean, a lot of people have, you know, friends and family and children and, you know, parents maybe that they even need to take care of, and life sort of gets in the way. Well, in those cases, and some have small children, in those cases, it's really necessary to create what I refer to as boundaries. You know, a lot of times when people think you have a home-based business, they think you're accessible, you know, 24/7 or even during the day. Well, you have an at-home business. Well, you know what? If you're treating it, are you treating it like a business is the question. And so if you're accepting phone calls from family members, do you need to set boundaries? Do you not accept those calls? Or if you do need to accept those calls because life does, you know, get in the way, take a look at your business blueprint, take a look at your action plans, and ask yourself if they're really realistic. And sometimes people have this notion of just working 9 to 5. That doesn't always work for a lot of people. You may have to integrate your life and integrate business. And that doesn't mean, you know, 9 to 5 I'm at business and then from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you know, anytime after that it's fine. You know, there's a lot of times where people integrate their lives, go to the children's play and, you know, take a couple of hours off and then regroup at a later time. But make sure you regroup at a later time. But again, it depends on each individual circumstance. You also may need to be selective about your time and shift the way that you work. Now, most of you got this in the 3-day last year, and we'll cover this again, but there's a couple of you know, things to think about. The first one is phone management. Phone management. How are you managing the calls? And a lot of times people will answer the calls as soon as it rings. Well, you know what? If you always answer the call as soon as it rings, people are definitely going to think you're not busy enough. So sometimes I understand that some businesses in the success circle are very client or customer time sensitive because, you know, it may involve quoting or something of that nature. Think about, too, how you can automate the process. So that automation, again, think about different parts of your business and different ways of doing business. But phone management is critically important. I know, you know, if I'm in the middle of something very busy, I'll shut off my phone so that I can have very focused time and then answer the calls at a later time, usually in the same day, but maybe in the afternoon. Again, that is something that that may need to be managed. The second thing is email management. Email management, and I know a lot of people that answer their emails at 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock p.m. 11 to get maybe the evening before and 3 p.m. I do this occasionally. I don't do that all the time, but if there is a project I'm working on, what I find most helpful is I finish the project and I also shut off my email alarm so I'm not distracted. Because once the email comes through, I can get easily distracted. So I have to completely shut down my email and then really focus on the task at hand. There's also client management. You can schedule client calls all in one day, perhaps. I know a lot of times people will really try to, schedule clients at their, clients' convenience, and they might have one in the morning and one on, Monday and then not another one till 5, and so they're running around and they're traveling, and it's really not efficient. Try to cluster your time when you can. And again, this is about client and time management. And when you look at time management, look at, again, realistic time frames. If you really, nice time management technique is when you finish a meeting, tack on another hour to that meeting. And the reasons for that are simple. Number one, the meeting might go longer. Number two, you can also use that time for any follow-up that occurs at that meeting. So you already built in time to finish the project or finish whatever the outcomes are of that meeting. And so those are some important, client and time management techniques. And also look at business management. Designate maybe business development days where you work on specific projects. And you have days where, maybe you don't have any clients for that day. And those are strictly creating maybe different products, or maybe it's just a business development day to really strategically look at your business and see how you're doing. And that can be done, maybe every quarter, maybe every month. Again, it really depends on how often you're updating your business blueprint. Okay, the other... So in terms of getting distracted from life, I would say that take a look at all the things that you are doing. Look at shifting the way that you work. And, you might have to be a little bit more selective, not only about your time, but creating boundaries for people and keeping those boundaries. And that, especially for a home-based business, is critically important. Okay, the last question that we had is, my question relates to target markets. This is from Phil, who's a financial advisor. How important is it to have one target market? There's more than one question here. First, how important it is to have only one target market? Second, how narrow should the target be? And he goes on to indicate his situation. The clients he enjoys working with the most and who can benefit the most from his services are those that are nearing or just in retirement, but he has shied away from the over-pursued baby boomers as everyone seems to be chasing them. However, they will receive the most benefit from my services, preferably before they retire. That being said, should I concentrate only on a specific segment of the baby boomers, i.e. business owners and dentists, and only those that are within 5 years of retirement? Great question, Phil. Thanks for submitting this. I have a couple of thoughts about this. First of all, when you look at a target market, when you're looking at a target market, it could be baby boomers, for example. And as you're looking at a niche, it could be baby boomers in a certain age and who have a certain profession, specifically the certain professions. That could be a niche, like, I only work with dentists. Okay, that's your niche. You only work with dentists, or you only work with CPAs, or you only work with, you know, a certain population of that. You know, I think there's like 76 million baby boomers that were born between 1946 and 1964. So that's a lot of people. They are probably being bombarded. But here's where we go through the preferred client profile and getting really, really clear about that. You want to identify not only the demographics, okay? What are their demographics? Their ages, their geographics, where are they located, and what is the area in which you're serving, and also the psychographics. And those psychographics are those likability factors, those things that you really enjoy working with somebody, those special attributes that they have. Now, as you look at 76 million or so, or 73 million, I think it's somewhere around there, that their total baby boomers are in the world. Now, if you go into just business owners, so now you say, okay, 76 million are baby boomers. I'm just going to focus on the business owners, okay, and specifically the business owners, let's say, who are dentists. So now you're focusing on only dentists who are baby boomers, okay? So that's one part of your population. I think that that's a good place to start. The question is, a lot of people, what I'm looking at right now are all the external factors, okay? All the data that's out there. But when selecting a niche, you also want to go internally. You know, where are your passions? Maybe where are your experiences? Some of you want to even get into niches that you have no experience in, and that's fine, because there may be a passion there that would be a good mix, because you really like to work with people like that. And so I think it's important to look not only at the external factors, Phil, but also the internal factors. So let's also think this through down the line. So let's say you have, I'm going to say dentists. Let's say you have dentists, and you're identifying the baby boomer dentist. Now you go after them, and again, you might have to do some initial work, prep work, and question them about, you know, their financial needs, and, you know, you might want to do some research on how many dentists are in that category. But also think about long term. Think about the people that are not baby boomers, that might be business owners or dentists or whatever, your niches. And think about the people that come before the baby boomers. Because you could be working with those baby boomers, but understand each year they get older, they get close, they get older. And so you want to make sure that you have people coming into your funnel, into your practice, even before the looking zone. So before they retire. So think about how you're going to continuously get people into that funnel, and that for the long term, you're bringing in people that are going to, you may be bringing in people that are younger because it's before, before they even retire. So again, before the looking zone is before they even think they need your services. So consider this whole funnel, but also consider the longevity of that funnel. So if you're really targeting baby boomers, at what age are you targeting them? And, you know, with the lifespans obviously getting longer, you know, people are living longer, so obviously they're going to be your clients longer, but you need to think, give that into consideration too, is age. So especially if you're a financial advisor or planner. So when you think about a niche, consider there's going to be a whole lot of people in that niche. And if you're trying too wide of a wide net, that's not going to work either. So I think it's and you also asked how narrow should the target be. Now, if you look at all the baby boomers who are business owners and dentists, I'm sure you're going to find a whole lot of them in which to target. The great thing about targeting that net niche, too, is you're going to find out what they read, what toys they buy, where they hang out, and you can get your message in front of them. And when you're trying to do that for everybody and catch anybody, you're not truly effective in your marketing messages. You also asked, Phil, how important is it to have only one target market? Again, remember, the target market could be baby boomers, but the niche could be business owners. So as you're drilling down that target market and becoming much more specific, you're going to find yourself in more of a niche. And then you can expand later. So, for example, let's say you pick baby boomers, at a certain age, 5 years, within 5 years of retirement, and they're a business owner. Okay, so you're gonna find quite a few of those people, I would imagine, that meet that target. And so could you expand to dentists later? Yeah, because as your practice starts to fill up, you can expand it later. The problem is people try to cast a wide net and try to go wide. Really, they're better to go narrow and then go wide. The reason some of these big corporations became big corporations is they didn't start out big. They started out small, and most of them, many of them, started out in a niche because it's much more manageable to go after that niche and to find out what the niche reads, eats, plays with, all of that. You know, it's a lot easier to really target that than it is to say anybody who. You know, and then you're known for, you know, I mean, you've got chiropractors that are known for just sports chiropractic. You've got, people that are, you know, known for maybe certain geographic locations, you know, that do interior design, for example. Maybe you deal with houses that are, you know, 3,000 square feet on up. So, again, you're going to have a very specific niche, and you're going to become known for that niche. Now, does that mean you can't accept other business that comes down the line from another niche? No, it doesn't, but you can expand it later. The purpose in creating a narrow niche is so that you can really target your market, and you can really go into that niche, and you understand them at such a level that you create such compelling marketing and marketing messages that they see that marketing message and they want to do business with you. A great, great case in point, I saw an advertisement on TV that basically said, are you a woman between the ages of 40 and 55? And, and of course that caught my attention because I'm a woman within that age range. But so that is why it's important to really narrow down your niche and to have that niche. You can go wide later, and you can even accept people that aren't in that niche as you go along and you're referred. Again, that's your choice. But the reason you want to start small is start narrow is because you can be much more effective in your efforts, your networking, your referrals, your marketing messages, and you end up being bringing in more money as a result. And more clients. Okay, let's see. All right, I think we might have time to open up the lines. I'm going to do that real quick. And for those of you who have any questions you'd like me to answer, and remember to, I think it's *6 to unmute your lines. But here, I'm going to try to unmute everybody. Hang on a minute.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
Okay, we're going to open up the lines, and does anybody have a question that they maybe didn't submit and have a question, or even have a question about something that I covered today? Everybody's quiet. I can hear you guys on the line. I know you're there. Anybody have any questions?
No, you were thorough.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, if nobody has any questions, I think that's about it. I want to thank everyone for coming to the Q&A call. Remember, April 12th is your laser coaching call and the high content call. We're going to cover everything about sponsorships. Even if you've never thought about getting sponsors and even thought about having events, you may want to still be on the call, because I'm going to give some great ideas in how you can really grow your business with having events. So feel free to, again, submit any questions to info@accelerateassociates.com, and also to set up your laser coaching call. And with that, I think we're finished. I hope I've answered everyone's questions here today. And until next time, create a great life, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.